world loves a parade. Do you like parades? I love parades. But you know, it's imperative to get there early so you can see who's passing by. I remember as a child, some of the best parades were when the circus train came to town. And all the animals were unloaded and the acrobats, and they'd parade right through the streets. It was awesome. When I was in grade school, I lined up with a bunch of people for a presidential motorcade, and John F. Kennedy went by waving from that beautiful convertible that was later going to be trouble for him. I've been in all kinds of parades, and probably y'all have too, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, service clubs, youth groups, all kinds of parades. Parades are really fun to watch, though they don't take any commitment particularly, right? It's the folks in the parade who have taken a stance for something. Well, today's story about Zacchaeus is a parade story. It's Passover time. Tens of thousands of Jews are trying to pour into Jerusalem. And this particular crew that Luke is talking about has come from Galilee to the town of Jericho. Jericho is about 860 feet below sea level. It is a hot, humid, rather oppressive place. But the Jews use this path because they don't want to go through Samaria. The Samaritans are their enemies who might throw rocks at them or do unpleasant things. So these Jewish pilgrims are pouring through the toll gate. We're not the only ones who have tolls on the highways in Jericho. They're going to have to pay a toll tax. Then they can turn the corner and go up to Jerusalem, which is their goal. Well, as though life isn't crazy enough for the Jewish community during Passover, loads of people on the road, a superstar is coming down the road. And that superstar is Jesus and his entourage. Jesus is heading to Jerusalem, where ultimately he's going to be crucified this Passover. But he's done something very unique. He's just raised Lazarus from the dead. And even though Jewish authorities and Romans threatened people, told them to quit spreading that story, there's no way you can keep a story, a truth like that inside. So everybody's there to see Jesus. And that's where Zacchaeus enters in. Now, Zacchaeus is a bit of a funny guy, a contradiction in terms. Zacchaeus means the righteous one. And what do we know about Zacchaeus? We know three things. He's a chief tax collector, which leads to part two. He's a crook. He takes people's money everywhere he can. And he is not tall. The average Palestinian man in the first century was between 5 feet and 5'6" in height. So for them to think Zacchaeus was short, he really was not tall in stature. But there's something else going on. Everybody knew Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. He lived well because others lived poorly. He skimmed money off the top of his taxes. The group may have well been standing shoulder to shoulder because they didn't want to give in to Zacchaeus. They didn't want to give him a break. He was a stinker, and they were not glad that he was there. But Zacchaeus decided he was all in. So he abandoned his dignity completely, abandoned his authority as a Roman tax collector, and he climbed a tree. How many of you have climbed a tree in the last year? Caught you at the wrong moment. You know, for an adult, now y'all, youth and kids, you wouldn't have any trouble climbing a tree. For adults, it A, takes a lot more effort, and B, you need a lot less dignity than we usually have. Think to yourself, who would motivate you enough to climb a tree to see them? That would be a very short list. So Zacchaeus makes a huge effort to see Jesus. And Luke is telling us that faith is more a verb, more something that we do, than a noun, something that we hold. Zacchaeus shows faith in climbing the tree. He is willing to do anything it takes to see Jesus. And amazingly, Jesus stops under the tree, he looks up, He makes contact and he knows the name of Zacchaeus. Have you ever been surprised that somebody knows your name and can call it? Jesus looks him right in the eye and says, Zacchaeus, you come down because you are going to offer me hospitality today in your home. Which was a huge big deal. It was a huge honor. Jesus is the superstar. Everybody wants Jesus in their home today. And he's going to go dine with a tax collector again. Do you know it's human nature when we have done something for which we are ashamed to withdraw and to cover up? I mean, it just is. Jesus knows all about Zacchaeus and his shenanigans, and he calls him down, and in effect, Zacchaeus leaves the shame of his old life behind, and he leaps into a new life. Now, the Jewish law required that if there was theft, like from a tax collector, he had to pay back that amount plus 20%. It's kind of like paying court costs, I guess, plus 20%. Zacchaeus gets down and he says, I think this is the present aorist form of the Greek, I am giving, starting now, I am giving to the poor half my possessions. And those whom I've cheated, I will give back fourfold, 400 times. This is major. Zacchaeus has leaped out of the tree and gotten on the gratitude path of Jesus. You know, when it comes to stewardship, when it comes to managing time, money, energy, gifts, there are three more or less paths that human beings get on. One is the path of entertainment and distraction, where we spend lots of our time and our money and our effort in things that distract us. Now, I'm all for having fun. I like fun. Fun is fun. But it's not the major call of our lives, is it? When we invest most of ourselves in distractions, our roots don't go very deep. I had a dear Arab friend. He was a Shiite Muslim from Basra, Iraq. Came out during the first Gulf War. His name was Qasim al-Fatlawi. And when people said to him, oh, you poor thing, you've suffered so much, he'd say, all sunshine makes a desert. It's the storms that give us roots. So one path is distraction and entertainment. Another path that human beings take is what Jesus called building bigger barns. I have enough, but I need more. I have more than enough, but I need even more. Bigger and bigger barns. The Sadducees in the Temple of Jerusalem were great at building bigger barns. Then there are others who find the path of life. The path of conversion that Zacchaeus models for us. Notice, Zacchaeus is not showing remorse. This is why fire and brimstone sermons generally don't work. They make us feel remorseful, but they don't necessarily lead to change. When Zacchaeus was looked at by Jesus with love, was included, was welcomed, he knew he was loved, and he responded by changing his behavior. Jesus gave Zacchaeus the freedom to be all in, a good member of the faith community. As we keep watch in our own times, and oh my, do we live in crazy times as Americans in the year 2016, we also are to be watchful stewards of opportunities where we can be all in. I remember reading Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Remember him? Soviet guy, wonderful writer, lived in Vermont for a while before he went back to Russia. He talks about being in this huge former church under the Soviet era. And in the Orthodox Church, sermons last for hours and you have to stand up to hear them. Boy, that's a lose-lose, isn't it? So everybody's standing up in this old Orthodox church. There are no benches. And the party leader is just haranguing them about something. Solzhenitsyn's there watching. People are sitting with their shoulders bowed. They're so heavy. And this little old dried up man, says Solzhenitsyn, when the party leader was done, said, "Can I say just 3 words? Because I used to be a priest in this church." And the party leader thought, "Oh, what can this little old dried up guy do in 3 words that could cause any harm?" He said, "All right, but it better just be 3. This brave Russian Orthodox priest stands in front of the mob and he calls out with a strong voice, "Christ is risen." And the crowd roars back, "He is risen indeed." Faith, opening, opportunity, the chance to say, "Lord, I am all in with you." When we lived in the Middle East, Muslims who came to faith in Jesus rarely said, "I'm a Christian." That's more a Western term. They said, "We have decided to put our trust in Jesus. Will you pray for us?" We have decided to put our trust in Jesus. We are all in. You know, our church, we are poised in a place and at a time to do such great good, to welcome outsiders into the fold, to lead lives of repentance that are marked by generosity, to remember that our salvation always begins on God's terms, that God takes us as we are, but never leaves us there. But we can't do it ourselves. We need the Lord, we need each other, and we remember that Jesus looks at each of us and says, "I know you, I know your name, I'm coming to live with you, within you, among you this day." Amen. Amen.